Hey, did you know that the Pre-Med Playbook Guide to the MCAT is now available on Amazon? At least the Kindle version is. Hopefully by the time you're listening to this, or soon after, the paperback version is out too. Go to mcatbook.com and find out how to buy the Pre-Med Playbook Guide to the MCAT. This is the book to help guide you through the ins and outs of the MCAT. This is not a content book. This is a book to let you know how to register, when to register, how to form a study group, what the best materials are to study, and so much more. So go to mcatbook.com, buy the Kindle book. It's only $4.99. If you want to buy it just to support me here at the medical school headquarters, then I would love you to do that too. If you've purchased the book in the past and want to leave a review, I would love that as well. Again, that's mcatbook.com. This is the MCAT podcast, session number 92. A collaboration between the medical school headquarters and Next Step Test Prep. The MCAT podcast is here to make sure you have the information you need to succeed on your MCAT test day. We all know that the MCAT is one of the biggest hurdles you're going to face as a pre-med, but we're here to give you the motivation and information that you need to know to help you get the score you deserve so you can one day call yourself a med student. Welcome to the Pre-Med Years. My name is Dr. Ryan Gray, author of the Pre-Med Playbook Guide to the MCAT, co-author of that book, author of the Pre-Med Playbook Guide to the Medical School Interview and Guide to the Medical School Personal Statement as well. All those books you can buy or pre-order on Amazon right now, or Barnes & Noble, except the MCAT book, but not to confuse you. All right, let's dive into today's episode where we're going to talk about something that came out about a month ago and got pre-meds in a big tizzy because the MSAR released their updated stats and it showed a big jump in average MCAT scores for matriculants and for applicants. So, Brian, we're going to take a break from physics. That was a rough 4 weeks of physics. And I want to talk about something that was brought to my attention recently. The data's been out there since, I think, November of 2017. But the average MCAT score for applicants and matriculants has gone up pretty significantly from 2016-17 application year to the last year that they have the data, 2017-18 application year. Now, this is for you listening along, if you want to pull over by the side of the road or if you're at your desk right now, just Google MCAT, or not MCAT, AAMC MCAT table A16, and you'll hopefully find this. And the chart that I'm looking at shows the total MCAT score, the average, the mean MCAT score is 501.8 for 2016-17 for all applicants. For 2017-18, that score increased 2.9 points to 504.7, with the standard deviation being basically the same. How does that happen? In a one-year time span, how does the score go up almost 3 points?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, Ryan. And similarly with matriculants, right? That same table A-16, if you're following along, the matriculant score went from 508.7 to 510.4.
Yeah.
So it went up about a point and a half. Still pretty significant in a single year when you're talking about tens of thousands of data points. I mean, that's a pretty big swing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so we have to ask ourselves, does that actually reflect an underlying improvement? Did the entire universe of pre-meds, 50,000 pre-meds, suddenly get some chunk of percentile points smarter? Right. That's one possibility. The mm-hmm. students changed.
Yeah.
The second is the thing you were measuring with changed, right? The MCAT radically changed in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Or the third possibility is statistical artifact, right? And so, I mean, of course, Ryan, we don't know, but I think we can make some educated guesses. When you first saw this data, what did you think was going on?
The thing that popped into my mind was, man, the MCAT podcast is really helping students.
There you go. Everybody's listening to us and getting real smart at this test.
Yes.
Real savvy.
Yeah, so that was my first thought. And then my ego moved aside. And I said this, the easiest answer for me is that the AAMC must be changing the scale somehow. They're changing something with their scaling. Maybe there were passages that they realized afterwards they needed to throw out, and so they increased some scores, and that the 2018-19 data will come back down once they figure out those passages or whatever happened in this testing time period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's possible. There are slight changes, slight little tweaks in the percentiles, you know, the scales from year to year. So if an average score in 1 year is a 500.1, and the next year it might be a 500.8, even that would be a pretty big swing.
Yeah.
There are these tiny little swings in percentiles. More realistically, I think it's just a statistical artifact. And in fact, the AMC calls this out at the bottom of table A16 on the second page. You want to make sure you're looking at this carefully, where they explicitly say the 2016 and 17 scores are not comparable to previous years. The 2017 scores are not comparable to the 2016 scores. And then they call out the fact that people took the old MCAT. So when I first saw this, I actually thought statistical artifact, right? There's no way a standardized test changes that much from year to year. Mm-hmm. Because, Ryan, remember that MCAT scores are generally good for about 3 years.
Yep.
So if you managed to take the old MCAT in 2015, January 2015, the last time you could take it, mm-hmm. if you did good, right, if you had a good score, you for sure were not going to retake the exam.
Yep.
Right? You weren't going to take this new hard, crazy test. So for the first couple of years, what admissions committees were looking at was applicants with old MCAT scores that were really good, right? Because they took the old MCAT, they did great, they held on to it and applied with it. Meaning that, you know, if you're going to construct an incoming class and you want the average score for your incoming class to be about 510, give or take, then you're going to be taking the, you know, on the old scale, the 35s, the 34s, the 37s. You're taking all the top end of the old scale, which means you're being a little more forgiving on the new test, mm-hmm. right? On the new test, you're taking some 500s, some 501s, some 502s. But now, as of 2017, this new application cycle, we've basically entirely transitioned over, right? The 2014s are no good anymore.
Yep.
And I have to confess, I feel really vindicated because I called it back in, I think even 2013, when they first published, you know, how this new thing was going to be scaled, you know, what all the data was. You know, I looked at the data and said, all right, here it is, everybody. 510 is the new 30. I published this huge blog post early in 2014 where I said, 510 is the new 30. For those listeners who don't know, 30 on the old scale was the number everybody wanted.
Yep.
They wanted to get to a 30 to get into med school. And I was absolutely certain that 510 was the new 30. And boy, did I get shouted down. People told me, Brian, there's no way you can know that. You just made stuff up. And then when the data started coming in, they were like, see, you're wrong. Ha ha. It was a 507, not a 510. But hey, look, we finished the transition now. And darned if I wasn't right. 510.4. That's the new 30. There you go.
But if you're... When you mention the statistical anomaly or whatever you said it is, what do you mean by that?
Okay, so again, you're accepting an incoming class, and you're going to take some kids with high MCAT scores, you know, 90th percentile. You're going to take some kids with average MCAT scores, which for a matriculant is like 80th percentile. Mm-hmm. And you're going to take some kids with weak MCAT scores, 70th percentile. Okay. Right? You figure that's the typical behavior of an admissions committee. I'm taking 90th percentile kids, I'm taking a big chunk of 80th percentile kids, and I'm taking some 70th percentile kids. During the two transition years, your 90th percentile kids were overwhelmingly kids who had good old MCAT scores.
Okay.
So that meant when you took your 70s, when you took your low end of your incoming class, you were taking more new MCAT scores out of the 70s.
Okay. So not some sort of funky statistics anomaly, but an actual just because of the behavior of the students and the MCAT cycle, there's just some weird data. And so now potentially this 2017-18 data is the data that will likely potentially be what we'll see from here on out.
Yeah, that is absolutely my supposition, right? So for 2 years, the old MCAT was disproportionately represented among high scorers, and the new scores were disproportionately represented among low scorers for kids who applied and got in. And now we've made the switch. And I would bet my bottom dollar that this 5-10 give or take, that's going to be the number we see year after year after year.
Okay. As a student who is struggling to get 504s, 505s, even on practice exams, and they see this new data, what should they do with that information?
Sure. Well, it doesn't fundamentally change the prep process, right? You always wanted to do your best. You always want to master content and practice strategies and take practice tests. All it does is maybe shift the calculation a little bit on if you feel like you're ready. So if you thought, well, I'm pretty close to 508, so I'm ready. You know, I'm getting 506 and 7. I'm almost there, so maybe I'm ready. Now you might look at that and go, well, I'm really only getting 506s and 7s, and I want a 510. Maybe I need to just push it back and consider prepping for another few weeks.
Okay. So just different data points, but the same algorithm to go down.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. There you have it. Hopefully, we've calmed you down a little bit. Yes, those numbers are higher, but they are what they are. All you need to do is go out and do as the best as you can. One thing I want you to keep in mind as you go through the MSAR, the medical school admissions requirements, the numbers that you see on each of those webpages for those schools are median numbers. So when you look at that gray circle, or orange circle, or whatever color circle it is when you're watching this and when you're looking at the MSAR, that circle for MCAT, for GPA, the one right in the middle, is median. That is not the average. Median means 50% of the class is above it, 50% of the class is below it. Average is different. So keep that in mind. If you are below that median number, guess what? So is 50% of the class. So it doesn't really mean much. Which is why I like to tell students, don't look at MCAT and GPA when applying to medical schools. Yes, that goes counter to what every other pre-med, quote, pre-med says. I'm not a pre-med. I talk to admissions committee members. I talk to deans of admissions. Don't look at MCAT and GPA when applying to medical school. That's all I have to say about that. Next week, we're going to jump into some bio grab bag of questions. Hope you have a great week. We'll see you next time here on the MCAT podcast. And don't forget to go check out the Pre-Med Playbook Guide to the MCAT. Again, that's on Amazon, Kindle, and hopefully paperback soon. Talk to you later.